redo the river story later. So it's looking like we're not going to get the MacArthur Genius Grant. I think it's... I haven't heard anything.
Asked. I haven't heard. You didn't know.
Did you? You didn't hear anything.
I didn't hear anything. I did not hear a thing.
Yeah. So I was thinking, I think it's going to be okay. Because we don't need their money.
We don't need a genius. We're not geniuses anyway.
Because I got it. Well, for yourself. Nice.
Don't want to be bitter about it, but you know.
Say that in 2 minutes when I tell you we don't need their money because I have a business idea.
I thought you were gonna say, you know how you can like buy land on the moon or something like that.
Is
that
yeah.
I thought you were like, I just bought us certificates to say geniuses on them.
I bought a star. I named a star There Will Be Books Genius. No,
bad idea. Okay, sorry. Continue.
My real idea for my business, my real world business. Because
this is a business meeting 101. Okay.
We're entrepreneurs.
Yeah, we read books.
Hustlers. We embrace the grind. Okay. I need a genius grant this year. I'm gonna create a company.
Okay.
All right. So, do you know how when you're a kid you get like those fun beds, like a race car, or you know, what are you like the big?
We'll say a race car, yeah.
Race car.
What else would it be?
Whatever else. Adults just sleep in
spaceship.
Spaceship.
Yeah.
Mostly vehicles, most.
A canoe, maybe? Could you do a canoe?
You could.
I think it'd be kind of fun.
While kids sleeping.
What if everyone just slept in hammocks? Okay, I'm sorry. The listener can't see it, but the frustration on your face when
I said, "No, it's fine. I got to. You're playing event. You're the. This is my practice pitch, and you're the venture capitalist, Silicon Valley guy. I'm pitching it to.
I'm the Matthew McConaughey of this situation.
From Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah,
McConaughey or somebody from the show Silicon Valley. Either. Anyway.
Okay, hold on. All right, I'm ready.
Adults sleep in just boring
beds.
Beds, right? Bed frames. Maybe like silky, frilly stuff. That is so boring. Yeah. And it's frankly insulting to creative types like you and me and most of our listeners. Mm-hmm. So I have a new company. It's called Fun Beds for Big Boys. And it's bedding for adults. And it's basically just we design and huge throw pillows.
Yeah. Just
the whole room is basically made up to look like whatever you want.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, you know, a New York penthouse.
All right, like, you know who we could get to advertise this?
We'll advertise on the podcast.
No, hold on. Get Mr. Tom Hanks to reenact his character from Big.
Yes. Oh my God, that's so perfect.
Yeah. How much do you think that'll cost us? Not that much.
It depends if he owes us a favor or not.
Maybe. It's a good point. Yeah.
Does your brother know Tom Hanks?
He might, probably.
So we'll call that. That's a genius marketing.
You were expecting one of my, you know, just dumb ideas that I just come up with off the top of my head. Because I'll admit, my brain sometimes on that first go around doesn't always get the A+.
It's like starting a car in the cold weather.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, whoa, just missed a gear there. But that one, I don't know.
That's a good idea.
It's a genius idea. Okay.
And then it's a good, like, fun beds for big boys. You could just do whatever.
Fun beds for big boys.
Yeah, but we want to be inclusive for girls too.
So big boys and girls.
Oh, I'd like for girls, but the set of Miranda's apartment from Sex and the City.
Oh, so we create
themes.
Themes, okay.
Almost the whole, the bed sheet, the big old pillow on the ground, the curtains. We can make the whole bedroom.
I like it.
Like, because you know how a lot of millennials,
yeah,
the world is bleak and, you know, they're baristas or whatever with degrees. And so they hang on to Harry Potter maybe a little too long.
Oh. Yeah.
But we can make Hogwarts. We can have Hogwarts.
Oh.
Your favorite, your house, your Slytherin or Gryffindor. Hey.
Hey, you know what? I know you're slamming it, but I always, when I saw those movies, I always thought, man, would that be fun But then in reality, you're like, it wouldn't be fun.
You know they're books too, right?
Stop it. No, I'm just thinking, you know, just dorming with a bunch of people that close. Doesn't everyone like a little space in their life?
Did you go to college?
I did.
Yeah.
I didn't. Come on now. Let's just...
They're nostalgic for kind of school. You know what happens when you get nostalgic for like school and stuff like that? Because as an adult, you realize how much more responsibility you have in the adult world. And looking back, you can see like it was pretty easy back then. But what you forget when you're an adult nostalgizing the past is all the social pressure, all the like, oh, I have a big paper due. Or in Harry Potter, my little potions thing.
Yeah.
Mr. Tigglywig. He's gonna kick out.
I won't nominate the Harry Potter books this month. Okay.
The third one's pretty spooky. I like the Harry Potter books. I'm just saying.
Okay. That's a. I mean, how long did that take you to come up with?
I thought of it while I was walking outside, and I thought it was so good. I stopped and wrote it down. And I was having second thoughts an hour ago.
Were you by yourself?
Is this the best that I can come up with? And then I was like, you know what? I had some coffee. I'm like, you know what? Let's go.
What about like you put a ball pit in your room? Okay, fun.
This is more for adults, not taking adults back to the world of children.
Okay.
I think you don't need a whole bedroom to have a ball pit. You want if you were a rich guy with a mansion, one of your separate rooms could be a ball pit. But you don't want your bedroom to be an actual ball pit. You know what I mean?
I just thought of a bed that's not really, I don't think it's fun. There's no purpose for it. Yeah, I think it's just a fun image. And it'd be like, this is what a weird person with $1 billion would do. They would have a bed that would like move in a circle, like a kind of like a rotating type oven thing. But obviously it's not an oven, but you would just lay on it.
And dogs at a gas station?
Kind of like that. And it would just go in a big circle. And I don't know. And they would come up with some idea of like, oh, it's circulating your blood better.
Oh yeah, yeah. That does seem like
something like
a Silicon Valley guy would do.
You just have a circulating bed,
and half the room's hot, and it's like hot, and then cold, and then something about the circadian rhythm as you sleep. It's good to like circulate the blood, hot and cold, over a 12-hour.
All your dreams would be pure and joyful.
Yeah, that's a good idea too.
That's kind of like rotisserie bed sleeping.
Yeah.
What's going on with my brain today?
I'm gonna buy a rotisserie bed. Yeah. Well, that's a good too. We'll put that. We're getting into the bed business here.
That's not really a fun. That's just a weird thing that I came up with that we could make up the science on behind. You know,
entrepreneurs. We'll make a business. Yeah. And then somebody actually buys it and we're like, how do we make a bed rotisserie? We'd have to
We'd have to hire a couple of engineers. We're like, we want a bed that rotates and just, you know, everyone's happy.
They're like, we don't understand. I'm like hot dogs at a gas station.
We're
like,
listen to this episode and just get it done, right? Like, get it, like, blueprints.
That's a good idea.
If our wives listen to this episode, will they be like, pretty depressed about what we use our brains for?
About who they married? Yeah. I think we should start discouraging them from listening.
We're
to a point we have enough other people. Let's just start like, you know what? You guys don't need to.
You guys don't need to listen to
this. We'll get them to hang out with each other.
Yeah.
I'm glad they get along. They're
fine. Yeah.
I like that. Just like, why don't you guys go hang out and just not listen? We're about to get really pretty.
And they'll be like, why do you guys have saws? And, you know, we'll be like, it's just bed business.
Bed business. Hey, one more for my fun beds for big boys.
Yep.
Could be the set of the West Wing.
Oh.
People like that show.
That's good.
Watch President.
I don't think anyone watched. I mean, that's
Pretender
President reference, but.
What?
Like, it's 20 years old. I like it, but it's not.
It's
like,
been captured on film. People still watch. Like it's not a temporary. It's not like the film.
Like the Library of Congress right now. If they capture it,
it's not like
people will watch it.
People still watch.
That works.
I mean, people still watch.
So, okay, let's go back to we're in the West Wing. We're obviously doing the Oval Office, right?
Oh, I just had a little tap. You can pretend to be President Bartlett doing the right thing in a very verbose manner.
Now, does the room, do we come up with scenarios that like every weekend there's a new, the ambassador to Sweden has been kidnapped? Let's call it. Or there's a protest. There's a union strike somewhere. We gotta figure that out.
Yeah.
And then what happens if you don't figure it out?
We can come in and change the scenes monthly.
Okay. That's a lot more intensive. Yeah. I like that one. The West. Yeah. I like it. It could be a TV show. Like you and I come into the house and we're like, you know what? Would be good.
Yeah. Like one of those.
This room could be a Deadwood barn and then just. Put a horse in there with like a cot and just like, hey.
I was gonna say the show Deadwood.
Yeah.
Like a Western theme.
Yeah.
Like the manly types.
Just the bed is horrible. It's like it's just planks of wood.
No, it'd be comfortable, but the No. The bed is comfortable, but it looks uncomfortable. Mm.
Do we put like
and everything makes it look like it's just a plank of wood, but it's actually comfort.
Kind of like the ceiling, let some drafts in, get some rain coming in.
No, we have a little rain machine. It's got to actually be, people don't actually want to be uncomfortable. They want the illusion. We're selling illusions here, Peter.
Illusions, Peter. I can't say the rest of that quote. Anyway, okay. I think those are pretty good ideas.
That's not the worst idea.
No, they're pretty good.
It's pretty smart.
And on that note, welcome to There Will Be Books, a podcast about books and fun beds for big boys. I'm Peter, joined as always by Matt. Whew, that was a brainstorm. My brain's kind of tired.
Hmm.
Okay,
we should encourage people we know not to listen to this episode.
Why is it? This one's just as good as the other ones.
Okay.
That's pretty fun.
It's good. It's good. I'm excited to get going.
Before we start recording, I told Matt that I saw a guy in the river off the bike path. And I thought, I was walking with my wife and the dogs. And I thought, oh, hold on. I thought it was a cop in the river. And I thought he was fishing out of body. Turned out to be just a guy fishing. So
For fish.
And that was just, you know, the two alternatives is we riff on the bed idea or how do you mistake a cop and a fisherman?
Yeah, I liked your story.
It's pretty good.
You just saw a guy in the water waist deep.
In my defense, there were a lot of trees in the way.
No. I could totally be like
tall grasses.
Yeah. You're like, what's that guy doing down there?
I just saw a guy and he seemed to have like a nice, like a cop coat is what I would describe it in my brain. I was like, whoa, 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 whoa.
I don't think that's a silly, silly thing.
Fishing pole.
A silly first thing for your brain to think.
Yeah, it's a little silly.
Yeah.
Every time I see, I don't know, my brain gets
kind of. It was a fly fisherman.
Yep, he was doing some sidearm casts in there, and I thought, I hope he catches those trout, because.
Did you hang around to see if he caught anything?
No.
Because maybe he caught a body.
I should have just really just suddenly appeared on the shore and just been like, oh, I thought you were a cop fishing a body out. And he's just like, what? And then. I
come down and ask him if he needs any help.
Yeah, you're like, what are you fishing for? He's like, anyway. Hmm. Yeah, this episode might not be all that useful for it.
No, it's fun. It's good.
I think our regular listeners are gonna be like, this is like a cult classic of an episode. You know, they'll call back to this one and be like, you know what? That spooky October episode from 2022.
It's really grown on me.
You kind of have to listen to it a couple times, but
yeah.
Otherwise, you know.
I hope it'll be fun for the folks.
It will be fun. Matt, we're picking a new, we're adding some books to our TBR. Maybe one, maybe two, maybe three, who knows. I think it's technically our October book, but in my head, I like to just say, we're just adding some books, you know.
I'm sticking with the monthly thing.
Okay, you're sticking with the this is that. This is how religions diverge, right?
Oh, schism. Yeah. I'll become a monthly guy, and you're.
So you might start recording episodes by yourself, and you just don't tell me. and then
you'd be a splinter. It is how, yeah.
I don't know if I'd be minor. I would be the splinter one, wouldn't I?
It'd be whoever walked away first, and you sort.
Well, I kind of just said I now view them as just general additions to the TBR.
Yeah, no, that is how schisms happen, because they find a little bit of dogma to latch onto, and then they really.
And I get my followers to just, you know, I don't know what would we do. Just, I don't know, nothing too serious, but. Anyway, but to be nice to you, this is our October book club. So we both nominate books. Could be three, could be four. I think I think we did too many last time. It was a little out of control. I think we both regretted those decisions. There's about 20 books maybe discussed. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are we doing? We kind of discussed off air theme wise. It's usually a spooky book for October.
Did you embrace the theme or?
I danced with it. Okay. I danced with it. I have one book that I really want to read, but it says it's out of left field for us. But I digress. I did have some spooky stuff. Okay. I'm assuming you went down the Halloween spooky horror
for the most part. Yeah.
Rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me pull up my list here. How many books do you have this month?
Oh, anywhere from 4 to 6.
I think I have 7. So.
Oh, okay.
Some of these I can just. Some of them are like pretty quick.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, sometimes you just say a title and it's like, okay. The juice is flowing, you know what I mean? Sometimes we're in the mood for a book, right?
Yeah. Okay.
I think that's a big part of this game. So
that's like,
can I just do my weird one right off the top of the bat?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's my own, it's a nonfiction book. That makes it completely unusual for us, even though both of us are big nonfiction fans. Right?
Yeah. I think
confirmed.
It's fine.
Okay, confirmed. I think we talked about this book actually when we were hanging out last week. And the book is A Distant Mirror by Barbara Tuchman.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I was perusing my shelves and then this book came out. I have an old, I don't know when this edition was. It's kind of an old one. The book came out in, I believe, 1978. If you're not familiar, it's a history of the 14th century in Europe. So kind of crusades, castles, chivalry. Taxes, war, loyalty, treacheries, all that kind of fun stuff. A time I've kind of, I think I'm interested in, I just haven't read a lot about it. I think that's fair to say for myself. What are your thoughts on sort of that time frame or conversely a history book for There Will Be Books?
I think we should do more history on here.
I think so too.
I'm intrigued at the prospect.
I will admit it's probably not the best month to bring it up.
Well, how long is it?
It's a fairly long book. Yeah. It's almost 600 pages.
Yeah.
But I don't know about you. I feel like history books sometimes be quicker reads, maybe.
I like history books. That's a good suggestion.
Yeah. My edition has a bunch of fun photos. But maybe it's just something we can table for later. I've been wanting to read a lot of her books over the years. And the only book I've read of hers is The Zimmerman Telegram, which is a short book about the Zimmerman Telegram. I read that in college. But
we had to read The Guns of August.
The Guns of August is one I've always wanted to read. I think I have that one. I've had that one for probably like 15 years, a copy of that, of a little mass market paperback of that. A Distant Mirror.
This is just, I do want to do more history on here.
So that is more of let's throw that into the realm of our books. Maybe in a couple months we come back to history, or maybe next month, or biography even. But that's my kind of left field. I saw it on my shelves and I was like, you know what?
I'm talking about it out there.
Yeah. All right.
I like it.
All right, Matt. Let's get hit us with your first nomination.
All right. Let's do For whatever reason, I have it in my head, you don't like this guy.
Okay, that's probably accurate. I said
in passing 5 years ago.
Okay.
But I enjoy short stories. I haven't read any of his novels. This is fairly short.
Okay.
Doable. The cover makes it sound creepy. And this is from, it's a blurb on the back from the New York Post. In this diabolical story of two innocent American tourists, and innocent is in quotes.
Okay.
So it makes you think guilty. Like, oh, maybe they're not so innocent, Peter.
I think they're guilty, though.
Well, isn't everybody guilty?
Oh.
Maybe he plays with... Anyway, who get caught up in a chilling encounter with as evil a young man as we've ever come across.
That's...
Takes place in Central America. It's got a creepy, creepy cover.
Okay.
It is Up Above the World by Paul Bowles.
Of the World Bible. I've never heard of this book. I have read Paul Bowles.
Do you like him?
What did I read? The Sheltering Sky? Is that?
That's probably his most famous
one. I did not understand half of that book, I will admit.
I haven't read that. His short stories are interesting.
When you read those, did you have a big, like a fat edition of those?
I think
I've seen that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those have intrigued me. This book sounds spooky.
In a
sinister way.
What makes the guy so evil? What's he do?
Yeah, what does he do? I don't know. That might be an uncomfortable reading.
That's the point. We're bracing that this month. So it's not like a Halloween haunted book, but it's like a creepy. That's kind of like creepy type stuff.
Okay. You want to be.
Embrace the. Maybe if you want, you know.
Up Above the World. Never heard of it. See, look at that. Writing that down. That's good. Good first nomination. Sometimes I like when you go famous name, not so famous title. Right?
Yeah.
Which is I think, a fun thing to do. All right.
I didn't know this was obscure. I've had it forever. I found it at a used bookstore. And I was just looking for Paul Bowles books because I like the short stories. So
I like it. All right. I played it kind of safe, I will admit. And I think some of these books I have nominated before, or you have nominated before. Yeah. Is that an issue for you?
No, I have one renomination from last October too. So
let me do not a spooky book. This is another kind of out of left field book, left field. I came across and I thought it was kind of interesting. I saw the movie 15 years ago with people from our old job, Barnes & Noble. If that's, you weren't there, so don't worry.
I wasn't.
Yeah, this was like, I was a seasonal hire, and this was like, let's get the seasonal people together and go see a movie. And we saw this movie.
In the theater.
For some reason, they changed the title, I believe, from a UK to a US edition. And I'm talking about The Golden Compass by Philip Pullman.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's called Northern Lights. Is that?
No, I remember I went and saw the movie too.
No, the book, the UK version.
Oh.
Did you know that?
I don't know. I read them too. I read the trilogy.
Yeah. Northern Lights. Or is that a different?
Might be different.
No, I don't think so.
I think he wrote it a sequel later on.
Hold on.
Philip
Pullman fans are ripping their hair out of there.
I like Philip Pullman.
I've never read him.
It's a good trilogy. Yeah, Golden Compass is good.
Yeah, see.
Kids book.
The Golden Compass, The Subtle Knife, and The Amber Spyglass.
Yep.
That's the trilogy. This is part of that trilogy.
And it's Northern Lights is different.
No, it's book one in the series.
He's starting like a new trilogy then.
No. This is from 1996.
What? No.
I swear, I'm looking at this.
What do you think? Yes. Movie?
Northern Lights is titled The Golden Compass in North America and other countries.
Oh, I didn't know that.
See? Look at that. No. It's like
Why Harry Potter. Why did you do that?
It's like Harry Potter.
I was going to bring that up. They changed. It was Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone in Britain.
Well, I mean, I get it why they did that.
Come on. Because Philosopher's Stone sounds
boring. Are nerds? Yeah.
But a Sorcerer's Stone.
I don't even know what that means.
Well, because they thought Americans are dumb and would be bored by philosophy.
I think they thought they probably sent it to a what's that kind of group?
Focus group. Focus group, yeah.
They're like, we like the, we like everything. We like the artwork. We like the length. We like the plot. We don't like the title. And they're just like, we have to change the title.
Mm-hmm. I bet, I almost guarantee you that's what happened. Okay. That's what the change. I've heard this story about 20 or so years ago. There's a movie based on a play called The Madness of King George III.
Okay, where is this going? Okay, yeah.
Give me time. Give me the string, right?
I'm listening.
It's The Madness of King George III, and you know they have the third is spelled out in Roman numerals. Yeah. In America, that movie was released as The Madness of King George because the studio was worried that everybody would think it was a trilogy and they had to go see the first three. So they took off the Roman numerals. There's Madness of King George.
I know that kind of thing just makes you so angry.
It's insulting.
It makes your blood boil.
But deep, deep down, it's like, hey, you're probably right.
I know we criticize it, that you and I would just be looking at the movies coming out and be like, I haven't even heard of the first two.
Let's go see.
You know what's a weird thing? This episode, I don't know what, is when they change the title of a movie after it's come out. And they did this with a Tom Cruise movie called like The Edge of Tomorrow, where like he has to repeat.
I've seen that.
They changed the title to that.
To The Edge of Tomorrow. Well, because that's what I know it as.
Hold on. There's a lot of Googling on this episode. Edge of Tomorrow was 2014.
Yeah, I saw that. Him and Emily Blunt, and he relives this.
It's like a very good movie. It's a very good movie. Wait. Hold on now. Am I crazy? I thought they changed the title to this movie.
Uh-oh.
I was right about Northern Lights.
No, that's interesting. I didn't know that. That's
marketing.
You can't Google a negative. If this isn't true, you're just going to be a lot of dead air.
Okay, wait a second. They retitled the movie in 2014. I think the original name was Live, Die, Repeat.
I thought that was the tagline. I thought it was like Edge of Tomorrow, the tagline, Live, Die, Repeat.
It was actually, its initial title was All You Need Is Kill. But as filming was ended, they changed it to Edge of Tomorrow.
I like
it. I think I'm wrong on this, actually, if I'm completely honest.
So they didn't change it.
I swore I saw it as a different title than Edge of Tomorrow.
Well, it probably got mixed up. I mean, that sounds like their working title. And then to be released. All You Need Is Kill is not as good a title as Edge of Tomorrow. I'm going to say they got that one right.
Live, Die, Repeat. Gosh, I think I've told people that too.
Started.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, did you know? It's like, no, somebody just made that up.
Yeah, I just made that up, I think. But man, I thought that was a different title to the movie. Dang. Kills my streak of being right on weird stuff.
I'm gonna make a little notch.
Okay.
Make a little mark. Peter,
one
zero
one.
Days since being like a little.
Is that a reference to Zero Dark 30?
No.
Yeah,
none of the work in workspaces, they'll have have so many days since an injury, then they got to go back to one.
It's kind of morbid when they do that. I don't think I've ever worked somewhere where they actually do that, but I've seen it.
Like, I have.
At your warehouse job?
Yeah.
Were you ever the reason why the streak was ended?
No.
Were you ever injured on the
job? Actually, they stopped doing the streak thing, but they did at first, and then. No, I wasn't, but they were pains. Okay. They were pained in the behind about the injuries. They were annoying about
it. Didn't want to get OSHA.
Dude, on their
tails.
Yep.
Anyway. Yep. I could sense the anger in your face, too.
They're not anger. It was just, they would collectively, like somebody gets hurt, drops a box on their foot or something, and then they'd have a big old meeting and like chide everybody.
Why don't they just like hide the injuries?
I don't know. Yeah, some sort of.
I know that sounds bad, but just I worked at a warehouse for like a month, And to get a Band-Aid, you had to like go through this whole.
Yeah, they make it a
system.
A whole thing.
They're like making sure you. I'm like, it's a Band-Aid. Like I got a cardboard cut on it.
There was one. It was the winter. Yeah. And they had, whatever reason, it's a little old lady in her 60s or 70s, like driving a truck outside and pulling it into the bays, you know. And it got around the warehouse that she had slipped and fell and probably broke something. Right? So we kind of knew, like, oh, man. And then we're like, okay, well, when's the meeting going to be? And sure enough, there's a meeting and the boss guy is like really mad. And I'm like, okay, I mean... Because he always got mad and he like yelled at everybody. He's like, why are you treating it like, you know, this is our fault? A little lady slipped on the ice.
It would be like if you went to the doctor's office and just been like, five people have colds today. And you're just
why are you yelling at me?
I got a rash. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. I was like, well.
Wait, I don't even have the thing you're mad at. Like, what's.
It's icy outside. So anyway, so this guy, he's got three little traffic cones. And he's just like, I don't know what I have to do to get you guys to take safety seriously.
Oh, it's your fault.
Like, he slammed it. This traffic cone is for somebody sprained their wrist or what, like something. Ah. That, you know, this traffic cone is for, you know, when somebody has to go to the hospital.
Yep.
And the third traffic cone, keeping in mind everybody knew what had just happened.
Yeah.
We didn't know the severity of the injury. It's like, this traffic cone is for when somebody dies. And everybody gasps because everybody's thinking, oh my God, the old lady died.
No.
He's like, and I don't want that to happen.
Well, yeah.
And everybody's like, oh my God.
He gets fired, probably.
No, he gets promoted. He's like a bigwig now. He's no, it's like,
well, because no one died. See how you get promoted?
No, he's a higher up there. People who work there, you know who I'm talking about.
They know.
Yeah, I don't like that guy.
I have no idea what we're talking about.
How do we get on there? That was the worst. He like,
I don't know what happened.
Think this lady's dead for 10 seconds.
I think we both blacked out. I don't even know what happened. I don't know what I did. What happened?
Day after the Tom Cruise movie.
I know. I don't know.
Do you want to not read a book and just watch the Day After Tomorrow? Edge of Tomorrow?
We just do an episode
with Tom Cruise.
It's
a
good movie. I gotta say, I've never seen the movie. It's not all right. It's very good.
I like Groundhog Day better. There's like Groundhog Day with machine guns, basically.
Oh, I was like, it has nothing. It is. They are similar.
Same day over and over.
Oh, man. Whew. What are we doing? I don't know. Okay. We've done two books, right? No, three.
Three.
Okay.
You just nominated.
I've done A Distant Mirror and it could have been Northern Lights.
We're going to confuse everybody if we call
it. No, we're not going to confuse anybody.
Okay.
And you've done.
That's how we got down that rabbit hole.
A rare Paul Bowles novel. Up.
I don't think it's that rare. I think you just never heard of it. I found it for $1.
I like to needle you. I like to needle you. All right.
Hey.
What do we got here?
I haven't read. I like the author. Okay. Wrote a book called The Magus, which I really enjoyed.
Okay, John Foles.
Fowles.
How do you pronounce it?
Yeah, Foles, Fowles, I don't know. British guy. Seems like he wrote a bunch of different books.
Okay.
Well, like different themes.
Okay.
He wrote a book called The French Lieutenant's Woman, which is like a Victorian era romance. They made a movie with Meryl Streep. The Magus is totally different from that. And this book sounds totally different from both of those. It is, the setting is a lonely cottage in the English countryside.
I like that.
The characters are a brutal, tormented man and the beautiful, aristocratic young woman who he has taken captive.
Oh, no.
So the guy, basically, he's like a shy, awkward, he collects like butterflies and insects.
Sounds like a killer.
Right? Well, yeah. He wins a bunch of money in they call it a football pool. It's like gambling on soccer.
Okay.
Right. And he uses that money to kidnap this girl he's in love with, assumes she'll come to love him. And it's called The Collector by John Fowles. It's like a weird, it's like really creepy. It's supposed to be like a meditation on this guy finds things beautiful. And so he finds, you know, the things he collects are beautiful.
This is the first novel, too.
Yeah.
You know that?
It's still around. I think people still like it. Call it really creepy, you know.
Oh man, I don't know. Abduction. I don't know.
Disturb. Yeah, but it's that time of year.
When abduction is in the air. That would fit in. That would make us uncomfortable, right?
It's a horror story, Peter. It's not like a celebration of kidnapping. You know.
What's happening?
You're like disturbed by elements
of like, to kidnap, and you're just like, it's fake, it's fiction.
Well, yeah, it's a horror October read.
Okay.
Anyway, The Collector.
The Collector.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do two. Let's see here. I think I'll do one. I think I've nominated before. And that's going to be World War Z by Max Brooks.
Okay.
A zombie apocalypse book that I've heard is much better than the movie. And I quite like the movie.
You did like the movie.
I did like the movie. And I think it was kind of not everyone was a huge fan of that movie. Or am I wrong? Nervous because I misremembered that the Tom Cruise movie had like four titles. And
so. No, it's all right. I haven't seen the movie. I listened to the audiobook a while ago.
Okay.
I liked it. It was
good.
The new take on the zombie.
Did you tell me that you listened to the audiobook?
Maybe.
Because I should have nominated it.
I say a lot of things, Peter.
Okay. I mean, yeah.
Not recently.
Fun beds for big boys.
It's a good book. And that's
should I title that episode, the episode that or no?
Yeah. Well, just out of nowhere. I don't know if we want to get caught up in that algorithm with those keywords.
I think it's fine. I'm okay with it.
Let's title it something. Yeah.
Totally. Can I? Okay. We're not going to pick World War Z, obviously, because you just
listened
to it. I didn't know. I don't know why.
I didn't just listen to it. This is a while ago.
Can I nominate something that I think it's kind of, I think we're both probably kicking ourselves that we haven't read? I don't think you've read this book.
Yeah.
Frankenstein by Mary Shelley.
Yeah.
Or Mary Shelley's.
Yeah.
Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Yeah.
I think that's a book I should, I mean, that's, you know, you know, gaps in our reading. That's the big gap in my reading.
Yeah. We read it in high school.
I didn't read it in high school.
So I only read the Cliff Notes, but. Oh, I actually had Dracula sitting here for similar, like
that was another one. I mean, okay, so we get Dracula and we got
it. Was gonna be, do you wanna, I don't know,
Bram Stoker.
It looks pretty long and serious.
What, Dracula?
Frankenstein's like that too, although that might be fun to dive into.
Okay. I think we're gonna struggle this month for picking a book. I won't how our brains are working right now, and it's just scatter.
My brain's really
like, how did the episode go? I'm like, it's just
my brain's working fine.
All of them can't be home runs, right?
Don't project your stuff on me. I got it.
All right.
I'm 2 for 2.
Where are we at here? I just nominated two books that I've sort of just unnominated, but you go.
They count.
Okay.
This one, I think I nominated last October. I might kind of sneak off and read it on my own.
You said that last year, probably.
That's some, yeah, I did. I just haven't had time. It's, I like how this, the back of the book starts kind of interestingly. Okay. Charles Williams, who died in the summer of 1945 at the age of 59, man of unusual genius and several kinds of writing. I think it's the first thing they just throw, who's dead? Who died? And,
yeah, what's that about?
In case you're, because most people read the back of the book to find what the book's about. It's just this guy who died in the summer of 1945 at 59. Yeah,
It's very to the point, though, right?
And he's dead now. And what's his book about? I don't know. This one's called All Hallows Eve. Charles Williams was a British guy. He was in the little book club with C.S. Lewis and Tolkien and the Inklings, they called it.
Oh, I remember
and
this.
They met at the bar, Eagle and the Child.
You're jogging my memory.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well,
they meant right there.
It's called All Hallows Eve, which I believe to keep them to theme, is the British version of Halloween.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Should I Google that to see if
no, no, we'll just roll. No, just roll with it.
No.
All Hallows Eve is just a different name. It's not actually the British name for Halloween. It's just a
is it the name. British name?
I was making a small joke.
The movie from 2013.
Don't Google it.
Why? Is this like?
I don't want to go down the rabbit hole.
Is it like The Ring or something? Like if I Google it, I'll become. I think it is Halloween.
But yeah.
You're saying it's the British version.
No, Peter, that was just a random joke that came to the top of my head.
I don't know. No,
you don't
no.
need to Google it.
Yeah, I'm Googling it.
You don't need to take it literally. Reading Charles Williams is an unforgettable experience.
Okay.
How about that? How's that for a blurb?
Can I tell you what Halloween's also known as?
El Dia de Muertos?
Nope. Halloween, with like an apostrophe in between the two E's. All Halloween, All Hallows Eve, All Saints Eve.
Ooh, I like All Saints Eve. That's the New Orleans version of
Halloween. Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Every place has their own distinct version of Halloween. And at Fun Beds for Big Boys, we have a Halloween theme room. So, we roll in every October.
Re-record this episode.
We might have to. If we get enough hate mail.
I think we get to
take it down.
Too many busy lives. Okay. You just nominated a book again. All right, let me see here. I think you've read this book because I saw it on your Goodreads and you gave it 4 stars. So. But I don't think you read it recently.
Good assumption. Let's see.
All right. This author is best known for children's books. All right. I might be wrong about that, but I feel like he is. The book is The Witches by Roald Dahl.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell me more about it?
I'll be honest.
I nominated it because it had witches in the title.
Yeah. Witches is a children's book.
Children's
book. It's a creepy children's book.
Is it good?
The movie really creeped me out when I was a kid. We watched it in school. Mm-hmm. There's a part of the movie like witches can like trap you, use their magic and like trap you inside a painting so like you're that. Alive.
Like but, Harry Potter.
Well, this came out first. So they can put you into a painting and you age and live your whole life in a painting trapped in there. That really freaked me out when I was a kid.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Kids,
but fun. Roald Dahl, The Witches.
Yeah.
Okay. Has any book gained traction between us? This is the
I
first.
Don't know.
Okay.
You didn't like The Collector.
That one seemed like very unsettling and creepy. That was their best nomination by the parameters that we have set up to, you know, tonight. You just don't like
it. Have you seen The Silence of the Lambs?
Yeah, I see. Here's my issue. I think here's my issue with the spooky stuff. It scares me. I think I've admitted this before. It scares me. And I don't like it. And I don't like that.
My best nomination? It's
taking me like 40 minutes. And I just said to you, hey, I don't like being scared all that much.
You're trying to. Well, what we do last October, we did Little Stranger, which is pretty creepy. Good.
Yeah. We did Haunting of Hill House.
I mean, Haunting a Hill House, the first one. Sure.
Yeah.
Pretty creepy. Hey, so my best nomination, it ties into kind of what you just said.
Okay.
I was going to have a gimmick with it. It's also a children's book.
Okay.
I think most people read them when they were kids, most people of our age. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you did because of, you know, what you just mentioned. You don't like the scary stuff.
I don't like the scary stuff.
Heard of Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark?
The book you're talking about.
Alvin Schwartz with those really creepy sketches.
Yeah, it's They're a like, book I might have even owned, or maybe my brother owned, and I don't think I read it because it's very scary.
They are genuinely scary. some of the illustrations, like, you know.
Are we talking about the first one?
It would be the first. There's like three. I have the first one here. Look at that picture. Look at that horse. That picture is creepy.
That is very unsettling.
So this would be a quick look at that
Very. If you have, if you're not familiar, the pictures are very scary in books.
Yeah, you should. If you're around our age, you should remember they're very creepy. So what I'm suggesting we do that. That's quick read too.
Scary story.
But we have to read them. Like you would have to read them alone up in your attic with a book light.
Oh. Okay. So
you gotta read it. You gotta embrace, and I'd have to do it like in the crawl space with all my spiders.
That's crazy.
I was doing the crawl space.
Took me a second to like realize you're putting your life in danger. But
no. But I would do it down in the in my basement after everyone else has gone to sleep.
Okay, so I have to read them in the attic
or somewhere just
with the lights off, with my reading, like I have a little portable reading thing.
Somewhere dark with a book light or a flashlight or something.
Okay.
It would be the gimmick. Like you got to actually, got to do it. You got to brace yourself to.
I think that you just, that's right? That's a brilliant idea.
Right? I thought so.
Okay.
That could be fun.
Such a smart idea. I like that. Okay. And that's just the first volume. Okay.
We just do the first volume.
It's going to be hard to find the.
Check out Bizarre Bizarre. They have a pretty good
good point.
And if you can only find volume two or so, like,
you know what, I just found, I'm on the Googles, I found the complete 3-book collection.
Nice.
With the classic art by Stephen Gamble. Hey. For $11.
Nice. See, and that's the thing, in a little tidbit about like the used book market.
Mm-hmm.
These things were huge hits, so there should be
very popular
circulation, and they're not rare, so the copies you buy used shouldn't be expensive because there's so many.
God, yeah. The pictures are really...
Aren't they creepy?
They're very...
Imagine creepy. Being up in your attic.
Ew.
A little book light, it'd be scary.
It would be scary.
We're in our 30s, and it'd be kind of...
I still get spooked out.
That'd be fun.
Anyway, that's a very good... That's a very... All right. Let me... got a few more here. My list here for you. I think these both would be very fun to read. First is a play. I was thinking of Salem Witch Trial. What do we got here? The Crucible by Arthur Miller.
Yeah.
Play there. And the other one I have here is not really, it's not like horror spooky, I don't think, but I think we mentioned it before. It would be Good Omens by Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman.
Yeah. Hey.
But
yeah, that's good.
I don't know. Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark is pretty good. Do you want to just do that?
Or
do you want to debate it? You know, we can debate it.
Yeah, Good Omens is fun.
You read Good Omens, right?
Yeah, I've read it though.
Okay. We have a...
Had a couple more to bring up. We could probably go with Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. But
so, because the idea and the setup and how, where it's nostalgia, we're going back to, you're going back to my childhood, I'm going back to my fear of reading the books.
You face your fears.
Facing my fears.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, I thought you might bring it up, so I had my copy. We Have Always Lived in the Castle.
Oh, by Shirley Jackson.
It's also an excellent book.
Yeah, I want to read more Shirley Jackson. She's a very good writer.
That might be my favorite of hers. It's really good.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Who did... Are these... The Scary Stories, is it written by... Who's it written by? Alvin Schwartz.
Alvin Schwartz.
Okay.
They're like folk tales collected, you know, like but he reformed... And he reformed them into... he rewrote them. But they're like folkloric stories retold.
I like it.
And just drawings by Stephen Gamel or Gamel.
Gamel. All
yeah.
Right. All right.
Yeah.
Any other books?
There were two kind of random ones I stumbled on. I don't think we'll pick. I don't own them, but okay. I don't think we'll pick them. But there's one called Chasm by Stephen Laws.
Okay. Sounds like a horror book.
Sounds like a Stephen King-y type thing.
Yeah.
In the ordinary town of Edmondville, a tremor hits, followed by a second devastating tremor, then darkness. The next morning, the survivors discover that most of the town has disappeared into an enormous crevasse. Hmm. And I believe that the crevasse leads to hell. So So that'd be scary.
That would be scary.
Right? If that happened in Fort Collins, where'd everybody go?
Wouldn't be great. Would not be great.
Crevasse.
The crevasse. Crevasse is an underused word.
I think it might be British too. It seems like a very British thing.
Can I tell you, the collector is very unsettling, and I'm kind of reading about it as I'm listening to you. Man, that I think that would really get under my skin. But it looks like it's got good reviews. Looks, I don't know. I don't want to add it. Oh, man. Someone said, Nicole G said, this book is my all-time favorite now, and I would read it 100 more times if I could experience it through fresh eyes each time. I don't know what that means exactly, but.
Well, passion. It's so good. She wants to experience it for the first
time. So she would read it 100 times to erase her memory?
No.
I like the concept.
So the book would be fresh to her.
Yeah.
Each time she read it.
Yeah, I took it as she would have to read it 100 more times. And then that would trigger something magical, I assume. And then it would erase from her memory. And then on the 101st time, it would be like reading it anew. Did I just break your brain, or is that at all what she was
saying? That is clearly not what she meant. Like, at all.
It's kind of close to what she meant.
No.
I know you think I'm crazy, but I think she thought, if I have to read this book 100 times to read it anew, I would. It's like a riddle. Think about it.
No.
How is that not what she's saying?
If she could wipe her memory and read it fresh each time, she'd do it 100 times because
it's that's anybody's favorite book. Oh, if I could have this experience 100 times, sure. Reading a great book.
So that means she really likes this book and it might be her favorite. That's her point.
I know that's her point, but like, I think the system she has created, the magic system that she has created, is she has to read it 100 times. It erases from her memory. I don't know why. She didn't go into that in the review. And then she could start again.
Oh, man.
It's taken over 100 episodes, but I've broken your brain and killed your will. And I'm sorry that I had to do this.
I'm just trying to formulating my responses here. Like high school debate fashion. Making a little
Right.
And I can't. Might have to just cede the point.
Okay, I win. Nice. I'm on to the semifinals.
That's clearly what Nicole G meant.
Nicole G. It's clearly what she meant.
Yeah.
She's on the edge of her seat the whole time. And had to read through the whole book in one sitting. Something I haven't done since middle school. I was so disappointed to find out it doesn't have a sequel, but even without one, the ending is absolutely perfect. Fowls is a master of cliffhangers. Oh boy. 10 out of 10 book and a cool looking cover.
Yeah.
How many people do you think found that review helpful?
I don't know, a lot.
One.
Don't pick on. I like
guess
it.
What? I'm adding to that.
You're going to put.
Oh, helpful. Okay. I like that review. It's very, it had a good personality, had an interesting concept of you have to read a book 100 times to erase it from your memory. your brain's broken. Wow. I think this is the episode where the chasm, so to speak, has entered the realm of the podcast.
It's silly. It's getting silly.
It's the witching hour.
Hey, I found another book. This is on my last one.
Okay.
It's called The Tokyo Zodiac Murders.
Oh boy.
Soji Shimada.
Like it.
And translated from Japanese. Astrologer, fortune teller, and self-styled detective Kyushashi Mitari must in 1 week solve a mystery that has baffled Japan for 40 years. Who murdered the artist Umezawa? My goodness. And then chopped up the bodies of six others to create Azov, the supreme woman.
Oh my gosh.
And other illustrations, the story of magic and illusions pieced together to like a like a great stage tragedy, challenges the reader to unravel the mystery before the final murders.
That's a messed up book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Boy, this has been
crazy, right?
That's messed up. I don't like.
I mean, it's not the true crime stuff, it's not my wheelhouse.
I will say that.
But it's not that unusual in like American culture to deal with like murders.
No, it's not.
You thought you saw a dead body in the river.
I didn't say I saw. I thought I saw a cop who was looking for a dead body.
I'm just saying it's like all over TV and stuff. I thought the weird part of the Tokyo Zodiac murders was the supernet. Did she create Azoth, the ultimate woman?
Yeah, that's where I got like
right through murder.
What's going on?
That sounds okay. I thought that might be weird enough to intrigue you, but
I think I should wrap. We should start wrapping up the episode here because
why?
This is a very hard episode to summarize or promote. But I think it's a good fun. It's just two friends.
We choose in October, but we choose scary stories to tell in the dark.
Yeah, and we came up with a genius idea.
It's going to make us a lot of money.
Make us a lot of money. Rotisserie bed is also a side project. If you are an engineer, please send your resumes and some blueprints for that. And we'll go through those over the winter. And hopefully in spring, we'll have a prototype.
And that's an upscale thing that we're going to sell to like
upsell. Yeah, you think you got
very expensive.
Your bedroom is the set of friends at the coffee shop. Okay. And then we go.
See, that's perfect. People
love it. See,
we got to figure out how to get Matthew Perry's head on a gigantic floor pillow.
You'd
probably do that though.
You really like floor pillows, don't you?
It's part of it. It's going to be the whole room, floor pillows, a beanbag with Phoebe on it. It can be Monica.
Who was your favorite Friends character?
Growing up, it was Chandler.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but anymore, if it's on TV, and I only really like Joey or Phoebe, I'd like the goofy.
Yeah.
Come around to like the only people I like on the show are the two stupid ones. Chandler. When it was on when I was a kid.
I like Chandler too.
Was your Chandler guy?
I was a Joey, probably like.
Yeah.
But I appreciated the humor of Chandler too. But wasn't a big Ross fan. I don't think anyone was.
No one liked Ross.
But I think he served a purpose. I think he had to serve a purpose. You can't have all the friends be alike, right?
Yeah. And I think he was played well, frankly.
I think he got a bad rap. They
played him pretty well.
I mean, he probably gets a lot of, it's probably not fun to be David Schwimmer.
It's probably not fun to be any of them.
But they paid him a lot of money, so that's kind of...
He'll be fine.
That's what the money's for, so. All right, man, I have to say this has been a fun episode. I know it's been a bit haphazard and hopefully our wives don't think less of us if they listen to this and think...
We'll see. We should probably stop drawing attention to it and just
I'm gonna lean into it as it is.
The reader or the listener hated it, let us know.
So recap, reading Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, and we're officially
picking that, right?
That's our official book.
That's officially okay
with the you have to do this to read it. Okay, so if you're joining along at home, get the books. You can pick. I think I'm gonna get all three volumes in, being honest with you. You have to read it in a scary place or in a scary setting in your house. You can't read it in the daylight in your living room, at a coffee shop. No, break into an abandoned library and read it in the dark. Okay.
Yep.
Don't do that. That's a criminal act. But you know what I mean.
But abandoned, like break into an old church out in the middle of the country. No, an abandoned church or the creepy abandoned house in the woods, and read Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark with a flashlight or book light. But yeah, daylight, you cannot read in the daylight.
Not be daylight.
And nobody else can be around.
I like it. Yeah. I'll be honest, the attic area, it's not like an attic. You could, there's a room and stuff, but it's like the cat's area. I swear when I turn off the light and I'm reading this book, I know the cat is going to do something to like terrify me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's gonna I know that for a fact.
Yeah, it's gonna get creepy.
Because there's a crawl space that runs the length. I'm giving you a detailed description of where I'm reading this. You see, sometimes gets into the crawl space and you don't realize it's her and you hear rustling. And it's very disconcerting.
I'm remembering now a story in one of these volumes where it was like a serial killer broke into like a college dorm and this girl.
I thought this was for kids.
One of the girl hears like humming and she thinks it's her roommate. She's like, will you stop humming?
I don't like this.
And it goes through that and then she won't stop humming and she gets so frustrated. She turns on the light and it's like a serial killer with her girl. With her roommates.
Oh, this is gonna freak me out. I don't like this. It's gonna be terrible.
Yeah, it's gonna be scary. Like, I'm kind of regretting it.
You too. Just make up that story because that's terrifying.
No, it's in one of it's in okay. these.
All right, so that's hopefully people join us because that would be fun with the scary stuff.
Good concept. Good gimmick.
I'm gonna go quickly through the rest of our books on our TBR. Some are monthly, some have been on there a long time, but we haven't forgotten any of them. Some of them, the two on our Patreon are Eight Men Out and Lions of Lucerne, which we do episodes over on our Patreon. So if you're curious about that, you can go support us over there. Our regular, not our kind of the episodes we put out for everybody. The books we have coming up for that are Midsummer Night's Dream, Drive Your Plow Over the Bones of the Dead, Master and Margarita, Life and Fate, The Once and Future King. I think I'm forgetting one, but I think that's our kind of roster of books that we have upcoming with Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Scary Stories.
So,
I think Eight
Men Out, yeah, that's over on our Patreon.
Yeah.
And it's a good roster of books, I think, right now. Pretty solid. I like where we're at. Coming up soon, I don't know if this will be next week, it might be next week, I'm gonna let Matt off the reins as he discusses Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm. Midsummer Night's Dream.
He's said that he's just gonna go for a long time, and so we're excited about that. So Matt, any final thoughts tonight?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I want to thank you. Remember RJ Jacobs?
I do. I was yes.
He has a new book out. Looks very good. He sent us each a copy.
Oh.
Yeah.
I need to come over and get it. Called Always the First to Die.
The First to Die. Sounds like a thriller. It's
okay.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. Want to read it back to us?
Yeah. Well, okay. For Lexi, the Pinecrest Estate has become a place of horror. The dilapidated manor house in the Florida Keys, once the site of her teenage movie debut, is now haunted by memories. Memories of working on a legendary horror director's most famous film and of the terrible death that propelled them all to infamy. And ever since Lexi fled the Keys, she has vowed never to return. Until years later, her daughter escapes to the Pinecrest in search of answers, right when a Category 4 hurricane hits the southern coast. Now Lexi is back on the ravaged islands with only a few remaining behind, and soon enough, her life begins to resemble the plot of her most famous film. And this time, she's not sure who will make it out alive.
That sounds great.
Doesn't it?
I don't think I've ever, I'm a big weather nerd, so when that part came up, I'm like, oh, I like this plot device.
Well, and then, she's got a troubled past, and then reality kind of mimics the... It's good. And I read RJ's first one was very good. So I'm excited for this.
So we'll add that to our TBR. Sounds good. So let us know what you're reading. Let us know if you're reading anything spooky for October. And please join us on any of the books that I just mentioned on our TBR. Follow along as we release those episodes over the next weeks and months. So hopefully there's something for everybody there. And until next time, we'll talk to you later.